Y'all ready? Okay, say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. Amen. Remember, it's the word of God that changes people's lives. And Jesus is the word, as it says in John, that Jesus is the word. Praise God. I tell you what, Andrew did an awesome job last Sunday. Thank you. Thank you for preaching last Sunday. Great job, I tell you. It was wonderful, wonderful. Miss Diana Romero did a great job Wednesday talking about pride. And it's a good, you need to go and listen to it. It's really good. Andrew talked about breaking the chains of bondage. And let me tell you, you know, when you're born again and you give your life to the Lord, there are certain things that will fall off. But for some reason, there are like one or two, maybe three, whatever amount of things that may hold on. And the only way that we can break those things is not by willpower. Won't happen. Won't happen. You can say, I will not eat that candy bar. I will not eat that candy bar. I will not eat that Reese's candy bar. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I will not eat it. I do not like that peanut butter. I don't like the chocolate. You know, I will not eat it. But I tell you what, it stays on that counter too long. It's gone. You know, like, you know, my kids don't like this, but the gold brick. Oh, that's Easter candy. Gold brick. Wow, y'all. You know how hard it is to find that stuff sometimes? Gold brick. Oh my God. That is Easter candy. We could use one about right now. We could use a gold brick. Hey, we'll take the dark chocolate, the light chocolate, the white chocolate. It doesn't matter to us. All of it. I never saw a white chocolate. I'm sorry. Not, but dark chocolate and the regular. The white chocolate might be good. Oh, you know, no. Okay. But Easter. We just celebrated Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, people. We shall never forget the church is the leader in proclaiming that our Savior died upon the cross. Our Savior was put in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. There has been no other. Now, you might say, well, it wasn't Lazarus, you know, or whoever raised from the grave. That's totally different. That's totally different. Our Savior was the only one that rose from the grave. He was just brought back to life, Lazarus, and that. That's totally different. Totally different. In John chapter 13, we're not going to go there for yet. That, thank you, though, for being anxious to get in the Word. I appreciate that. y'all look like some hungry dogs, though, man. Thank you, Lord. But in the latter part of 13, John 13, 36 to 38, it talks about Simon Peter. And, you know, Simon Peter, you know, said to Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus said, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Simon Peter said, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus said, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. I know sometimes, because we love our God, every one of us, we love God. We love God. We love His Son, Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit that is here with us. God the Father's in heaven, Jesus on the side of Him, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is roaming the earth right now, doing the bidding of the Father. But Simon Peter got caught in a way. You know, and Simon, you know, and Jesus said, no, you cannot come where I'm going. And Jesus was talking about what he would have to do and then go to heaven. You cannot come right now. And he, Simon Peter, looks at Jesus with everything within him, and he says, I would die for you. And Jesus looks at him and said, before the cock crows three times, you would have denied me three times. Sometimes what God sees in us and what we see in us might be a little different. And that's okay for, that's okay. Because, you know, we're trying, you might say, well, you know, Simon Peter should have been quiet, not said a word. But Simon Peter, I know he loved the Lord, and probably with every intent of his being, he would have died for the Lord. His intentions were good. His action may not have followed the intention of what he thought in his mind. And so, you know, here we see, and he tells them this, and Peter must have looked and said, oh, my Lord. Because he knew that what Jesus was telling him was truth. You see, we got to realize this as we read the Word. As the Spirit of God speaks to us certain things, He knows our hearts. And we got to be submissive. Remember that word. We got to be submissive to the Spirit of the Lord and letting the Lord do the work that needs to be done. You see? And we know the end of that story was that he denied Christ three times to a little young lady. Three times. And I tell you, when that cock or that rooster crowed, I bet you everything came back in line with what Jesus had told him, that he would deny him. Now you might say, well, how you think Peter felt? Probably this low. Lower than dirt. But I tell you what, even when we feel lower than dirt, even when we fail God sometimes, even when we don't do what God wants us to do sometimes, or we say something or do something, that we can turn to our God and He can raise us up to be back where He wants us to be in full fellowship with Him. That's what God did to Peter. Remember when He got with His disciples and He said, by the way, go tell Peter. I love him. Oh, people, we know this scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God loves me. God loves you. Now, he doesn't overlook things in our hearts and lives that need to change. He doesn't overlook sin or evil in our hearts. But he wants us to get rid of those things by repenting and looking to him for that redemption power to be upon our hearts and upon our lives. You see, God is a God. He loves us. But yet, he's a God of judgment too. He paid the price. And he's saying, humanity, I paid the price. Take it up. And whoever does it will be lost in evil and sin and destroyed. But whoever takes up the cross of Calvary and says, I look to the cross for my redemption, that he will look to and he will redeem and will raise up just as he did Peter. Which we know Peter, they talk about him being the rock of the church. Some. And we know that Peter was a strong man. Yet God still had to humble him. But look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, John 14:1. John 14:1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right after he talked about Peter denying him, he starts with this verse. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. You know that this last year has troubled the heart of the church. I mean, severely. I've never seen so many Christians that love God. I mean, I have no denying, love God, born again, spirit-filled, faithful to church, faithful to God, but are so fearful of the world. So fearful. And hey, look, I'm sure not denying what's going on, the COVID-19 stuff, things that people have died of this stuff, you know. It has hit some people harder than others, you know. But I tell you what, it has hit the church, the body of believers, like I've never seen anything else hit the church, where it has divided people that go to the same church, where it has destroyed families, it has destroyed gatherings, it has destroyed just people to getting together, loving one another, and doing what God wants them to do. And hey, look, I'm all about taking precaution however you feel you need to do it, you know. I've never come against anybody that wore a mask. Sometimes I do. Depends on what store it is. You know, if they say you don't have to, I don't. But if they say you have to and you have to walk in and you need whatever they got, just respect it and go on. Get your stuff and get out, you know. But it has brought trouble. It has brought fear into the church, where God says we're not to have fear. Fear is not a good, fear is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Fear. It has brought fear. It has brought doubt. People have been over perplexed, doubt. Their minds, their lives have been messed up, all because of all kinds of things that have troubled them. You know, we live in a world, let me tell you, you know, something could happen around the world in China, let's say, and we would all know it in a second. Almost. I mean, it's split on our phones. We can catch it. There's an earthquake in Turkey. I'm talking about the country. We're going to know about it. If there's a shooting somewhere here or there, we're going to know about it. I mean, it's like, you know, that's just the day and age we live in. But, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you had to almost wait for the nightly news or the newspaper to come out to hear all this news. Yes, we are in troubling times. I mean, it's troubled. The earth is in turmoil. The earth is in birth pains because our Messiah is about to come. And God says in the last days that evil would rise up. Good would be called evil and evil would be called good. And don't we see that today? You know, I was just talking to somebody, you know, hey, I told them, y'all need to get married. They're living together, you know, whatever, and stuff. I said, you need to get married. Oh, and they say, okay, you know, and they go on, you know. And I laughed, you know. But, you know, just to, you know, say, hey, you know, they're living in that type of relationship. They need to get married. And so, but you see, the world will say it's okay. God says it's not. You know, and I'm talking about in a relationship together, living in a home. That's different. But you see, you know, the world is saying that abortion is evil or good. Good. The church is saying abortion's wrong. You see, the church has a different standard of what we do and how we live. The church has a different standard, you know, of what is right and what is wrong according to the Word of God. But I tell you what, the world is in trouble. It's in trouble, you know. Our government's in trouble. Our government's in trouble, people. But God always makes a way out. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. He makes a way out. He makes a way out. No matter what troubles the world, God makes a way out through his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price. Don't be troubled by the things of the world, people. Don't let fear settle into your heart and be scared. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, okay, you know, ladies, don't go to the store at 12 o'clock at night by yourself. You know, you might say no. Or anybody. Unless you really have to. Unless you're really, really hungry for that ice cream. You know, unless you, I mean, you are just having convulsions in that bed saying, I need that ice cream. I got to go get it. You know, there are certain circumstances. But, you know, it's troubled times. But I tell you what, we look to our God. And he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Don't let fear settle in your heart. Say, I'm free from those things that the devil tries to put upon our hearts and soul. God says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. That's what we want for us. We want the peace of God to reign upon our hearts and upon our lives, because he came to bring salvation to the church and to the people, humanity. And he's come to leave peace upon the church. And we need that peace. We need that power. We need that presence of the Holy Ghost upon our homes, people. My God, we need a touch from God. We need a mighty touch from God like we've never seen before. We need God to roam upon this earth. We need the Holy Spirit to invade areas that he's never invaded before. You know, I heard one story about a revival. I think it was in Wales, the Welsh area, where the revival started. And the one thing they were happy about was that at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know what they saw? They saw lights on in every home. You know what they were doing? Praying. And seeking God. Some were in their chairs just reading the Word. How I wish we could look out upon our towns and late at night see lights on. Not because of a party going on, maybe a spiritual party, but just the presence of God upon the mothers and the fathers and the children, and revival taking place inside. You talk about revival in the church? My God. You'll have revival in the church like you've never seen before when you get revival in the homes. And you see the power of God manifested like we've never seen before. Thou will keep thee in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. What a God we serve. He's a God that no matter what comes our way, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 11, it's talking about David and Saul. And David had some troubles. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Can you imagine you being called by the king, David? David, a man of God, a boy of God at that time, boys, a boy. But because of his playing ability of the harp and stuff, he would go in to the king. And when the spirit, which was a demonic spirit, would come upon this man and he'd be in torment, that David would start playing the harp. And so here we see that the harp was being played and the evil spirits would leave. Ooh. The evil spirits would. So you see, that music has can play a big part in bringing in the presence of God or repelling the presence of God. And so here we see the trouble. Can you imagine you just playing? You're sitting down and you're playing and you see the guy that you want to help and you see something come over him and you're going, oh my God. and you just keep playing, and all of a sudden he throws his javelin at you, and you got to run and move. You say, Lord, get me out of this trouble. You see, get me out of get me out of this trouble, Lord. Not once, but twice that we know of, that he threw it at him because he would get so angry. Let me tell you this. The devil will try to do whatever he can, but if we place our faith and trust in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, we place it there. The devil can throw whatever he wants, but God is our shield and buckler, and he stops those things from coming at us and destroying our lives. That's the kind of God we serve. And even though something may get through that troubles us, God still can bring peace and safety in the midst of trouble. My God, he's good. No matter what happens, our God is in control, people. He's in control. We can trust him no matter what. We can trust him. Just as, can you imagine after the first time? And the king calls him back. He said, oh my God, I don't know about this, but I got to do it. And he goes and he sits down and he starts to play. And he sees, because that evil spirit came upon him, he's coming again. And he's waiting. But you see, even though he threw it at him, Saul still wanted to be free. Or Sam, Saul still wanted to be free. The king wanted to be free. You know, when things come our way and trouble happens, people, place your faith in Christ and let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. No matter what's going on, let God take care of it. Place your faith. And even though it comes back again saying, Lord, I place my faith in you no matter what, Lord. I will do whatever you call me to do. I will place my faith in you and I will obey your word, Father. Help me to do your will. Help me to accomplish what you have set before me. God protects us out of trouble. You know, it is he, the king, that set the sun, the moon, and the stars into place. We can trust him. It is he who knows your name. You know, he doesn't have to guess. When you go before him, he doesn't have to sit down. Who is this? Is that the grandchild of Taunt? Who? Taunt. And try to figure out who it is? No. He knows your name. He knows who you are. You're a soul for the kingdom of God. Look, you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a child of his. And he loves you more than anything in this world. He loves humanity. He loves trees. He loves the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that stuff. But I tell you what, he went to the cross of Calvary for humanity. And he loves humanity more than anything in the world. We love our dogs. We love our cats, our rabbits and sheep and everything else. But I tell you what, to God, the most important thing is humanity. Human beings, men, women, boys, girls. That is the most important thing to him. He loves you and he wants to take care of you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Can you imagine that? Look, people. It says, in his Father's house, Jesus is saying this, or mansions. Oh, I forgot a word. Many mansions. Many, that means there's more than one. That means there's a lot. There's an implication, as you can see in the commentary, that Jesus has already seen some of the mansions that are awaiting his people. He's already the greatest project ever known to mankind. God says he's going to make mansions for us. Now, I know the world is saying, oh, come on, church, that's just silly. Well, to God, it's not silly. To God, gold is like zero to him. He put it on roads. For man, gold is one of the most important substances to him. I mean, that he treasures gold. We have gold things. You know, we think of Trump. Everything's gold. Huh? Everything's gold. Whatever. All his stuff is gold. But to God, that's nothing. That's zero to him. He uses it for us to walk on. What a God we serve. Mansions, people. He's there preparing a place for us. A mansion. Can you imagine? That's how important you are to him. You might say, well, Pastor, look, I don't live in a fancy house over here on earth. Don't worry about that. You can either strive for something else or whatever you want to do. But don't worry. Keep serving our God. And let me tell you, one will be available to you. And, buddy, if there's cars to drive, just think what you're going to drive. You might have the BMW, the Cadillac. You know, those all expensive cars. Whatever you want. You're looking at me like, Pastor, there's no cars. Yeah, he doesn't need a car. He's coming back on a white horse, which with a sash that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords right over him, saying, I'm coming back for my people, the rapture of the church. But I tell you, there's a mansion awaiting each and every one of us. God knows our likes, our dislikes. Can you imagine? God knows more about us than what we know about ourselves. He knows our likes, our dislikes. He knows what kind of furniture you like. He knows what kind of utensils you like. He knows you. Be ready for him. Be ready for him. Be ready for that coming of the Lord. Yes, we might have troubled times and things are happening that I never thought would ever be possible. But let me tell you, God is in the business of taking control of things. Don't think that things are out of control with God. Listen to me. With God, he puts everything under control. He knows what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and where to do it. That's the kind of God we serve. We put our faith and our trust in him and what he can do, and will do in the future. That's the kind of God we serve. And first, we'll stop there. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. We know this. He's coming again. He's coming again, people. He's coming again. If you look, I've studied this book. There's not one prophecy that has not come to pass yet that I know of. Everyone has. From Israel becoming a nation to the gospel being preached throughout the world with satellites and stuff. It's everywhere, people. The gospel has gone forth. It's everywhere. And when those things are happening and he's about to split those eastern skies and to come back for a people that are awaiting, that are anticipating his arrival. It's like the 10 virgins. You know the story about the 10 virgins in the Bible where it talks about there's 10 of them and they're waiting for the groom to come. And all of a sudden, because the groom was taking so long, that's complimentary of the world today and half the church today also, which half the church says, well, I've heard that Jesus is coming since the beginning of time and I haven't seen it yet. And they're becoming weary. And the oil in their lamps become no more. And the ones that have oil, the ones that don't have oil come to the ones, the five that have oil, and says, give me some of your oil so our lamps can show forth the light. And they told him, no, go into town and get your own. And when they left, it says the five that were there, the groom came. We got to anticipate the arrival of our king. He's coming for us. And you know the greatest thing of what he says to do? You know, Jesus didn't say this. Jesus didn't say, before I come, Joe, I want you to store everything you can of food and everything else in your house. I'm not saying, you know, we probably have so much food at all, every one of us, in our homes that we could last for a few years, probably. From all the freezers to all the cabinets, enough food. But what I'm saying is this, that we need to do the will of the Father, which says this, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You might say, all the world, wherever your world is. You might say, what do I preach? You preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You preach about how they need to be born again and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior in order to go to heaven. The greatest message Jesus ever preached was right before He left His ascension, when He says, go. Don't stop. Go and preach the gospel. Go and give them the word. Go and give them the light. Go and give them what they need. Everybody around you, try to give them the light. That's what we're to do. Whatever we can do. And hey, we're all different. Thank God, huh? Thank God. Thank God we're all different. Or slightly different. Somewhere, somehow. We all don't need to be the toe. Some of us can be the tongue every once in a while. Or whatever it is. We're the body of Christ. We are all different parts of the body. And every part of the body is what? Needed. Can the arm say, I don't need the foot? You have a lot of people saying it. They'll say, oh, go away. We don't need you. You're not worth anything. Every person is important to God. Every soul is important to God. Because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And we need to do everything we can to preach the gospel, to share the gospel with people, no matter what. You might have some that say, I don't want to hear it. That's okay. But the next time you come, if it opens up, you share it again. You share it again. And I'm telling you, just like all of us, we gave in one day because of the Spirit of God that was working in our hearts and in our lives. And that's what we got to do. We got to keep praying for our family members. We got to keep praying for God to move. We got to do what God says. We got to believe God by faith and let God work. See, none of us can save somebody, huh? Zero saving ability. But God can use us to preach the gospel, and the Spirit of God can come in and stamp that gospel upon the hearts and lives of the people and bring conviction and save their hearts and save their souls. Because we want to see everybody in heaven that we know of. Yes, by far, definitely. So trouble's here, but let me tell you this. We look to our God. Because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's building mansions for us. Praise the Lord. Huh? Thank you, Lord. He's a God that cares for you and everything you have. And everything you are. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what? He's coming back. Amen. Praise God. Would you please stand? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If everyone would just please bow their heads for just a minute. I want to ask you a very important question. Very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you have not done so, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you, so that you can accept. I see your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. Anyone else? I'm talking to everybody on Facebook, YouTube also that's watching. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray together, okay? Amen. Because we have somebody that raised their hand. And We want to pray with her. With her. Amen. Let's all pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God. I accept you as my Lord. And I accept you as my Savior. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may look this way. Look, I appreciate every one of you. Jelaine and I, we love you. We appreciate you and we thank God for you. Don't forget Wednesday night Bible study, talking about end time events, okay? And so we'd love to have you. That's at 7 o'clock. You walk through this building, but it's the room in, way in the back, okay? Amen. Andrew, why don't you come and close us in prayer?